This is Deming Lens, episode 32. In this episode, we'll be talking about systems thinking, some of the history and people involved in it, and then some of the applications of it. Hi, I'm Trip Babbitt, host of the Deming Lens. And in this episode, I want to talk about systems thinking. I have, over the years, read many books on the subject, and it is the first of Dr. Deming's four components that make up his system of profound knowledge, which he talks about appreciation for a system. And I will start with a little bit of history. We'll talk a little bit about organizational structure from a systems thinking standpoint. We'll talk about how our minds are made up of analytical thinking. We'll talk also about Russell Acuff as an architect that I think is a great example that he would use. And then the last thing is I want to talk about systems thinking in terms of the aim of an organization. So let's start with a little bit of history, which is the first of the five pieces of this, and the people involved in it. And the original, as far as I'm aware, the original thought around general systems thinking came from Ludwig von Bertalanffy. And Bertalanffy wrote a book actually called General Systems Theory. It's an interesting read. I do find it very interesting also that the concept of systems and general systems theory comes from his work in biology. So there's a lot of times I've talked to people over the years and they don't think science should mix with business and organizations and things of that sort. But I disagree with that from the standpoint of we've learned a lot from science, and it does shed light on the way that organizations are put together and how they interact. And as new theories develop, I'm sure that the advancement may come from science. So Bertalanffy may have actually done a seminar or presented a paper that W. Edwards Deming was in attendance of. Now, I've not been able to verify that. Someone had written that. It was actually a professor. And I reached out to him, and he was not able to find his original notes on the crossover between Bertalanffy and Deming. But I would say, since Dr. Deming was knowledgeable about systems thinking, that there's a good possibility, since the paper that he released was in had been working on was in the late 1940s, and then he printed it in the 50s. So if he was presenting a paper, he was most likely presenting it before it was put into a book format. So Bertalanffy is one of those people that really started this whole movement, at least, as I said, as best as I can find. I don't know that you get a lot if you're working on an organization from Bertalanffy's, but I will put links out so that you can get a hold of his book. Another person that I read her book was Daniela Meadows, which is Thinking in Systems. And I think it's a good general overview of systems thinking. And then there is also Russell Acuff and Peter Senge. And Russell Acuff is probably makes up most of my thinking around systems thinking, other than what Dr. Deming wrote as part of his system of profound knowledge. Now, you remember, Dr. Deming basically said you don't have to be an expert in each one of the areas of his system of profound knowledge. So systems thinking, variation, theory of variation, theory of knowledge, and psychology, or knowledge about variation and psychology. But if you wanted to get deeper, which I enjoy doing, I like to go back. I like to understand the history. I like to understand how things moved over a period of years with regards to the thinking and how is it advancing what we're doing. But Russell Acuff, to me, wrote in a language that I could understand better. Peter Senge wrote some good stuff, and I know people that really get a lot out of his readings. I just didn't get what I needed from Peter Senge. Now, Russell Acuff wrote a number of books. There's some things I agree with him on. There's some things I disagree with him on. One would be idealized redesign. I think that systems are not scoped out and then you build to it, because I think by the time you build it, it needs to be improved. So there has to be this component of almost a dynamic system that's constantly renewing itself, as opposed to constantly building models that you have to build to. But that could be a whole nother Deming lens maybe at some point in the future. So anyway, those are the players. That there are many others that are out there. I've written, and I apologize, I haven't read everyone's work, but I've read others' works. But those people stand out in my mind as probably the most influential from where I sit on the subject of systems thinking. Now, let's kind of go with the second part about organizational structure, and let's think in terms of some of the things I've talked about in the past, which is Frederick Taylor and Taylorism, and talk in terms of how we've built most of our organizations. And for all of our technological advancements, most organizations are all designed in the same way. We've separated out the pieces that make up an organization, like sales and operations and accounting and things of that sort. But it's, from one perspective, it is all one system that has to work together in order to achieve its optimal ability to work as a system. So Taylor separated the parts. He was, working on and thinking in terms of optimizing each of the parts of an organization. And this kind of takes me back to something that Acuff said, which is a system taken apart loses its essential properties. So it's this whole thinking of, if we add up the pieces, if we break them apart and we add them up, then we will get what the system is capable of doing. And we also know from Russell Acuff that a system is greater than the sum of its parts. There's the interaction of them. And there's actually a good song out there. I was presented by someone who I thought was a systems thinker. It turned out later that they really weren't, but it was a good song, which is Johnny Cash has a song about building a Cadillac, and it's called One Piece at a Time. So taking each of the best parts of a Cadillac from year to year and building the Cadillac from apart from, 1959, 1960, and so forth, and trying to build a car from that. And I'll actually put a link into Johnny Cash's song, One Piece at a Time, because it's a great representation of the way that we've kind of built organizations and the way that we think about things and our analytical thinking, which is a great segue into the third part I wanted to talk about, which is systems thinking versus this analytical thinking, that we break down things into pieces. And it's a natural thing. It's innate. As children, we take things apart, and that's just kind of the way it's built into a human, is breaking those things apart. But the product of analysis is how things work, not why they work the way that they do. So one of the things, as I was watching some old Russell Acuff videos, I found was, why does a car have the engine in the front instead of someplace else in the car? Well, if you break it down a car and you break it out into different pieces, the door, the engine, and so forth. It's not going to tell you why the engine is in front. What you have to know, or what you have to think in terms of, is the system is that the car was originally called a horseless carriage. And so where were horses? Horses were in front. So we have to be able to take that and understand that that analysis takes you inside the system, but an explanation takes you outside the system. Now, one of the things I didn't know that I find very interesting was that apparently Russell Aikoff was an architect. And he said that architects are naturally systems thinkers, which I thought was interesting. And he gives the example of that an architect draws the house first, or the building first, the whole. Then he adds the rooms and the parts and things of that sort. And that they go off of, an architect would build off a systems principle of basically only improve a room in a way that improves the house. So the house has to be better by virtue of improving a room. But if it takes away from the whole, which is the house, then it's something you wouldn't do. As a matter of fact, he makes the comment that if he can make a room worse and make the house better, that he would do it as an architect. And that the objective was to build the best house, not the best rooms. And actually, in this video, he gave a good example. He's somebody who had to run up and down the stairs a lot in order to get to the kitchen, take things back upstairs, and so forth. And they said, hey, I need a dumbwaiter so that, you know, you can put the food in, I can get it up to the second floor without having to run back and forth down the stairs each time. And with the understanding that that would take away room from the kitchen, making the kitchen worse. But for that system, it made it overall better. And I think these are some of the concepts that most organizations are still missing today, is that we're not taking a good look at these kind of counterintuitive the counterintuitive nature of some of the things that you find in systems in order to make a whole better. Now, Russell Aikoff talks in terms of, you know, it, with analysis, that you're taking things apart, you explain the behavior of the part, and then you try and aggregate an understanding of the parts to aggregate understanding of the whole. And this gets into that a system is greater than the sum of its parts, and analysis does not get us there. What he's presenting instead is synthetic thinking, is what is this system a part of? So, you know, one of some of Deming's favorite quotes were about buggy whips and carburetors and things of that sort. And in order to be able to look at what system are you in, what broader system are you in, your cars are not in the automobile business, they're in the transportation business. So there are things that can threaten, you know, maybe even drones nowadays, that can threaten the way that people transport themselves from one location to another. So the synthetic thinking is, what is this system a part of? Explain the behavior. The second step is explaining the behavior of the containing whole. And then it is disaggregating the understanding of the containing whole by identifying the role or function of what you're trying to explain in the whole. So those are two different ways of thinking between being an analytical thinker and a synthetic thinker, and the approach that you take on things. Now, this is a good segue into this last piece I wanted to talk about, which has to do with AIM. And this is one of the reasons that in what I'm building and what I believe needs to happen in order to understand Dr. Deming's system of profound knowledge is that it, first of all, that it is a philosophy and it doesn't give you a step-by-step. And as I mentioned in the last Deming Lens, it's very difficult to grasp some of the things in the Deming philosophy because they are very counterintuitive to belief systems, to things that are going on in organizations, to what you're being taught in your MBA program. I can tell you, everything I learned in my MBA program, I had to unwind in my head once I started reading Dr. Deming's works and applying some of the thinking that's in it. So in order to do that, we have to become critical thinkers. So part of what I'm building in the separate activity that I'm doing away from the Deming Institute is how do we look at our organization and look at it as a system and taking you through. And to me, that's a primary step is being able to look at our organization as a system and first of all, conclude that at least over 50% of the performance of your organization, whether it's 50.1% or 60% or whatever it is, comes from the system and not an individual or outside types of things that are going on within an organization. That it's this interaction of the parts that Dr. Deming talked about, that Russell Acuff talked about, to a degree Bertil Amphy talked about, and certainly Daniela Meadows and Peter Senge talk about in their teaching. So I don't know how you can write an aim, which is the second part of the system that I'm building, until you have a good understanding of the system and understanding the business that you're in. Because if you're out there improving buggy whips and carburetors, you're out of business. You have to understand what business that you're in. And by virtue of that, you have to just understand the broader system in which you're contained. And for automobiles, it is the transportation system. And to be able to write a name, you've got to have that particular knowledge. And I don't believe most organizations have enough systems knowledge in many cases to put together a good purpose or what's referenced as AIM, which I've used mission, vision, values, and key measurements as part of what makes up an AIM. But it's the systems thinking component that allows you to get the critical thinking that you need. And it's one of the things I'm building in order to come up with a way for people to be able to look at their own system and using neuroscience and some of the things I've learned from neuroscience too. And ironically, brains, even though phrenology and different types of things, you know, bumps on the head, we've gone through this evolutionary process of learning in neuroscience where, you know, people thought that a bump in the head meant something and was associated. Then we kind of went to this kind of functional orientation, same as Taylor, actually, you know, breaking down the pieces and saying, oh, well, if you're afraid, it comes from this part of the brain and the fight or flight comes from the amygdala and those types of things. Well, the more that they've studied the brain, the more there may be functions that are involved in it on a regular basis, but the more that the interaction of the parts of your brain go together and operate as a system. So I'm all of this kind of fits together, and I think that so there's some interesting other readings going on with regards to neuroscience, but it's the thing I talked about in the last Deming Lens, which is you can't argue, you can't out-logic somebody. They have to learn on their own, and giving them experiences, crafting an experience for them to be able to go through so that they can kind of begin to see things differently. And this is just my view on it. Other people have other things. There are people that go to the red bead experiment and get it right off. I think that they're most likely in the minority. I was one of those and thought everybody would just get it because the logic just kills you. But it's just not that way. And I think looking at your own organization and being able to look at it and understand it as a system is certainly a part of this critical thinking that and crafting an experience for people to get this type of critical thinking will help them understand the Deming philosophy better. So that's really it. I just want to talk about systems thinking, some random thoughts I had about how systems thinking is not only part of Dr. Deming's system profound knowledge, but potentially where maybe he got some of his initial thinking, maybe did sit in on Bertalanffy's seminars or presentation of a paper before his book on general systems theory came out, because there's certainly a lot of parallels between some of the things that Dr. Deming wrote and what's in general systems theory by Bertalanffy. And I've always enjoyed, and Russell Acuff obviously has been in talks and things with Dr. Deming in the past. So that's it for this Deming lens. Hopefully you learned something. If you have comments or something that maybe you can correct me on, which I am correctable, make no apologies for learning, as Dr. Deming would say. But you can reach me at tripp@deming.org. Thank you for listening to the Deming Institute podcast. Stay updated on the latest blogs, podcasts, programs, and other activities at deming.org.